scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. And this is what it says. What know you not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Yes. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want to speak to us this morning about what God, what we are to be. What we are to be. The Bible is very clear about what God wants us to be. Now, there are many parents who state what they want their children to be. I don't know what the percentage is of children who follow in the footsteps of their parents. I have no idea of that percentage. But it has been said on different occasions that there are children who it is said that they are following in their father's or in their mother's footsteps. And when you think of that, it's very, very true. Because on Wednesday morning, we were talking in our prayer group after the service was over to Brother Mick. And he was talking about his son. And what was said was this: if you've seen Mick's son, you've seen Mick. So he was following in his father's footsteps. Now, we may have our own ideas about what we want to be. As a boy, I had aspirations that I wanted to be a cricketer. That was my passion. But God had other plans for my life. And as a 9-year-old, God drew me unto himself, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And it tells us in the Word of God that we are kept by the power of God. And it is the power of God and the grace of God that kept me from a 9-year-old until this day. Now, there came a time in my life when I was moved to spend more time in prayer. During this particular period, God molded me and shaped me, I believe, as a teenager, and molded me into the shape that he wanted me to be. At that particular time, I slept from 12 years of age at my grandmother's. And I said to my grandmother, I said, "Gran, will you please get me up at 6 o'clock in the morning, because I want to spend an hour with God in prayer and reading before I go out." And my grandmother had a doorbell on my bedpost. You know, the old-fashioned doorbells? And my grandmother used to press a button in her side of her bed, and it used to ring on my bedpost. And I used to shout then, "Okay, Grandma, I'm coming." And I used to get up then, light a fire, get me Grandma a cup of tea, and then I'd spend an hour in prayer and reading the Word of God. And during that time, it was God, I believe, that shaped me and molded me. We only lived 2 minutes from where my grandmother lived, so of an evening I would be at home, and I would be reading my Bible before going to my grandmother's. And my stepfather, my own father was killed in the war in 1940. And my stepfather was a drinker, a heavy drinker. He never missed the pub any day that I can ever remember. And he used to be a man who was like a lamb in the house. But when he came in from the pub, he was like a raving lunatic. And I would be reading my Bible, and he would turn to me and he would say, "What are you doing? You are an illiterate reptile." But you know, that didn't affect me, because I believe that God had his hand on my life. And at that time, God was shaping me into what he wanted me to be. And I want to emphasize this morning that it's important that we are what he wants us to be. And what we are to be in God's eyes is very, very important. Now, Paul states quite positively that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. In the previous verses, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul sets out the things that a believer should not be engaged in. Things that are responsible for separating us from God. Things that stop us from having fellowship with God. What are they? They are immoral improprieties. And these are the things that the apostle wants us to take note of, because by taking note of them, he wants to impress upon us the importance of living a holy life. Now, what the apostle is emphasizing is that a temple of God was the place separated specifically to be a place that is to be associated with the name and with the presence of God. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 5, very, very important chapter, 1 Kings chapter 5, Solomon says, "And behold, I will purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord spoke unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon your throne, in your room, he shall build a house unto my name." Temples in the Old Testament, if you'll read them, you will discover that they had their God erected inside of them. And there's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And it is the occasion when the Philistines captured the Ark of God. If you remember, those of you who can remember the Old Testament stories of Eli's sons, and they took the Ark of God because Israel was experiencing defeat. And as Israel was experiencing defeat, the sons of Eli took the Ark of God to the battlefield. And the Ark of God was captured. In other words, the presence of God was taken away from Israel. The enemy took away the presence of God from Israel. Don't ever let the enemy take away the presence of God from your life. And on this occasion, they took the Ark of God, the presence of God, because God's presence dwelt between the cherubims on the mercy seat, the Ark of God. And they placed it in the house of Dagon, who was the god, the idol that they worshipped. The Philistines worshipped Dagon. And they took the Ark of God and they put it in the temple of Dagon. And what happened is, the following morning they came into their temple and they found Dagon flat on its face before the Ark of God. And what I want to say to you this morning is this, that it's important for us to realize that there is no room for temples, for idols in the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's no room for idols to be in the temple of the Holy Spirit. And how important it is for us to realize this. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote, as stated in the text that we began with, that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, for we have been bought with a price. And so there is no room in our lives for impure living. There is no room in our lives for any idols whatsoever. There should only be one who is preeminent in our thoughts and our thinking from morning till night, and it is the Lord. With these words of Paul emphasizing what we are to be, I want us to consider as Christians and followers of Christ that we have to have a body fit for the purpose of God. That we have to have a body that is fit for the purpose of God. There are people who buy things and they don't work. They take them back to the shop and they say, this isn't fit for purpose. I want to change it. And they change it for something else that will be fit for purpose. And I want to say this morning that God wants us to be fit for purpose. Fit for his purpose. Because he has a purpose for every single one of us that is here this morning. You know, there isn't one here this morning who God doesn't have a purpose for you in life. And it's important that you have a body fit for God's purpose. Now, spiritual fitness has to do with surrendering our bodies to be a living sacrifice unto God, which is holy and acceptable, and our reasonable service. Now, when I say a body fit for purpose, I'm not referring here to physical fitness. Although Paul does say that bodily exercise profiteth little. He didn't say there was no profit in it. What he said was there's little profit in it. Because the main thing that you should be concentrating on is having your body fit for the purpose of God. There are those who do physical fitness, exercising the body. Some go to the gym, pay a fortune to keep fit. Others don't pay anything. They jog around the countryside. And there are those who just do exercises at home. But how important it is that we have a body that is fit for his purpose. With this in mind, let us just think about this for a few moments, shall we? We are to train ourselves in spiritual matters. What by? By prayer and by reading God's word. The assembling of ourselves together with other Christians, these are the basic things that are essential if we are to have a body fit for purpose. So what are they? Prayer, reading God's word, and assembling ourselves together. Because the Bible says that we are to assemble ourselves together. And I wouldn't, if you read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you'll discover that wherever Paul went on his journeys, his missionary journeys through Asia and Asia Minor, you'll always find that he says, on the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue. It's important to come to the house of God. It's important to bring our children to the house of God. It's important for them to be listening to God's word and absorb it into their minds and hearts. Now, to get fit for God's purpose, Jesus sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary. Yeah. Paying the price of our redemption by shedding his blood on the cross. And that is why Paul states, you are bought with a price. The price of your redemption was the death of Jesus. He paid the price for your redemption. And it is your redemption that makes you fit for purpose. Because God has a purpose for everyone that is here this morning. Now I know that these are challenging words that are facing us as we consider, is my body fit for purpose? Is it fit to be a temple of the Holy Spirit to dwell in? I'm moved by these words when I studied this little message for this morning. I'm moved by these words, is my body fit for purpose, God's purpose? Because I want it to be totally, absolutely sold out for God. And I want the life of God and the Spirit of God to manifest itself through my life. And I hope that that is the prayer of every one of us here this morning. Now the motive behind this message is not to criticize anyone or to condemn, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you because by stating that God has a plan for you, it is putting you in a position where you know you are under the eye of God. And there isn't one of us here this morning who isn't under the eye of God. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He has set things in place for you. Before I was 65, I was in Kennington in London. I was there to preach for the weekend in Kennington Church. And there's a prophet there. I'd never spoken to him. Didn't even know his name at that time. But on the Sunday morning, he brought a word. And he said, I want to bring a word to my servant Philip Powell this morning. And the Lord said, I've got everything planned for you for the future. At that time, we were worried about where we were going to live, because I was coming to the end of my tenure as a pastor, because we had to retire at 65. And we were concerned about where we were going to live. But the Lord said, I've got the future plan for you. Don't worry about it. You're going to live long. I'm not going to tell you how long, but it's going to be long. And here I am still. And I praise God. And that prophecy has come to pass because God, as you know, provided us with a fabulous bungalow. Didn't cost us anything. And how wonderful is God? How marvelous. And so I want to encourage you this morning to get your body, spiritual body, fit for his purpose so that he can work through you all the days of your life. Yes. Now, with this in mind, I would like to refer to the tabernacle in the wilderness that Moses was instructed to build. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 25 and verses 8 and 9. This is God speaking to Moses. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so you shall make it. Moses was instructed to make furniture for the tabernacle to be made out of wood. Verse 10 says, and they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length, and 1.5 cubits the breadth, and 1.5 cubits the height. Let us take just a moment to consider the acacia tree, which Moses was told to use. Note the process that tree had to go through in order to be fit for God's purpose. Because God had told Moses, you are to make an ark of the covenant, and that ark of the covenant is to be made out of acacia wood. So let's look at the process that ark of God went through in order to make it fit for God's purpose. There are several stages it had to go through that totally changed it so that it could be used. The first stage was this. It had to be cut down and separated from its worldly environment. Let me say that again. It had to be cut down and separated from its worldly environment. The next stage was to strip it of its old bark, which is what identified it with its worldly environment. The next stage, it had to be molded and shaped and planed to conform to the pattern that Moses had been shown. Finally, it had to be overlaid with gold. I hope you can see that picture in your mind this morning as I'm speaking about this. Because in its raw state, as an acacia tree, it was not fit for God's purpose. But God said, I want that tree, and I'm going to cut it down, and I'm going to get Moses to strip it of its old nature, and it's going to be shaped and conformed into the pattern that I want it to be, and then it's going to be overlaid with gold, which is a type of the righteousness of Christ. It's a wonderful picture. But let me ask you this morning, you see that table over there, that communion table? Can you visualize that standing in a forest with bark on it, leaves on it? That was once a tree. The Ark of the Covenant was once an acacia tree. And the acacia tree was the only tree or the only wood that was to be used in the construction of the tabernacle. And the only material that God will use in the constructing of individuals to be fit for his purpose are regenerated materials. And that's what we are this morning. Now, in its raw state, it was not fit for purpose. But once it had been separated, stripped of its bark, shaped, overlaid with gold, it was fit for God's purpose to be used. Follow me in this, because I want to use the acacia tree as a type of ourselves. For us to be holy and a body fit for God's purpose, we have to go through exactly the same process. We have to be separated from sin, stripped of the things that identified us with our worldly environment that we once lived in. And once we are separated, sanctified, shaped, we are then overlaid with gold, this righteousness of Christ. So, what does God see? God doesn't see you in your natural state. He sees you through the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Overlaid with the righteousness of Jesus. I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gave to me. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Have you got this body this morning that is fit for his purpose? If you haven't, then you can go through the same process that I thank God that he took me through. He took me through the process of cutting me down, stripping me, shaping me, and overlaying me with the righteousness of Jesus. And you too can experience that this morning by committing your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Because you cannot be fit for God's purpose unless you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. But God loves you. God cares for you. And God always wants to be your friend. So let me ask you this morning. Let me ask you to think about this question. Is my body fit for God's purpose? If not, make a commitment today and present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is good. He's faithful. He's loyal. He's true. And isn't that song wonderful we sang this morning? The goodness of God. How good is God we adore. Our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. So we are then bought with a price. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So we must be careful, being a body fit for his purpose, what we allow into our bodies. You see, if you walked into this church one Sunday morning and discovered all obscene pictures around the walls of this church, you'd be absolutely appalled. And yet, do you know there are Christians who are allowing all sorts of things to enter into their bodies? But we want a temple, don't we? Fit for God's purpose. Holy, pure, and to be like Jesus. So we are then, first of all, to be a body fit for his purpose. I'll give you two more points and then I'll stop. We are to be a body filled with the power of God. We are to be a body furnished with praise to God. Not only a body fit for purpose, but as a church body now, we are to be a body filled with the power of God. And the second thing is then, or the last thing is, we are to be a body furnished with praise to God. Three precious P's. Purpose, power, praise. I trust this morning as I've delivered this message that it will have spoken to your heart this morning. And that we will ever seek to be that body for him that is fit for his purpose, so that his presence will always be amongst us. Lord, I just thank you this morning for the privilege of just being able to minister your word this morning to your people. And I just thank you, Lord, and I just praise you. And I just ask, Lord, that if your word has spoken to someone,